Welcome to yet another episode of the great and powerful Deep Fat Motherfucking Fried, ladies and gentlemen. It's the greatest show under the sun or wherever the fuck it's under. Here's my two subordinates, Scotty and Paul.
Subordinates?
They'll be joining us, unfortunately, for this. I know that I'm better on my own. I've heard it so many times, but, you know, for some reason, I've got two coattails. Why not have two coattail riding pieces of fucking verminous scum? You know?
Wow.
At least I'm verminous scum.
What a
scum,
total piece
I'm
of
verminous
shit.
Verminous scum.
Dude, we're the ones that kill the brain beast in the fucking intro, TJ. It's yep. Scotty and I that do it. You just come along when it's already a fucking almost dead corpse.
Oh, when it's softened
and give
up.
It the coup de grace.
Look.
We do all the fucking heavy lifting, TJ.
Hold on. Let's review this shit, then. Let's just take a look at what happens here.
You know what I've noticed about that, too?
Be quiet.
We watched it so many times. Paul doesn't wear pants in that. He just has a shirt.
He doesn't need pants.
Oh, yeah, because, my belly covers
his
everything.
His belly covers up his whatever.
I know, dude.
That's
what I'm well, yeah, his shirt, but he has a giant shirt.
So let's take a look at this.
It's actually a muumuu.
That's a muumuu. Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I'll go ahead and mute it for the audience.
We'll skip forward to the fucking brain beast
fight.
Well,
I'm going to, dumbass. Give me a second.
Going to, dumbass. We're waiting
Jesus, like, what? Yeah. What are you waiting for? The second coming of Christ?
I'm just adjusting some audio shit.
So brain beast attacking the fucking...
All right, so hold on. Scotty does his little faggoty blast.
Right.
Doesn't even do shit. Just stuns it. Paul shoots off an arm like a retard, and then I have to deal with the death blow because you guys couldn't finish the fucking job.
The death blow. Get out of here, dude. It was already,
I decapitated that fucking thing with one blow.
It would have lasered you,
dude.
It would have lasered you into a cinder if
not
for me and Scotty doing all
of
the...
We just saw it happen, dude. What are you talking about, would have?
We, dude.
You saw how it went
down. I stun it. Paul comes in and destroys one of its fucking tentacles. And your ass just comes in to fucking cherry
like
kick.
Like a sneaky backstabber.
I don't need, you know,
glory
what?
Glory grabber, TJ.
I just felt like giving you guys something to do. I could have just walked up and chopped that thing's head off at any time. But I'm
could've,
like, let them feel like they're doing
could've,
something.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda, TJ.
Guess I shouldn't be so generous.
Yeah, I guess next time the brain beast is
the
attacking, maybe,
one,
maybe I'll stay in the fucking holodeck and get rubbed by my holo bitches.
Yeah,
fuck you. You can handle the next brain.
I think
you
fucking executive orders.
You know what, dude?
TJ.
Fuck this, Scotty. Next time the brain beast attacks and the fucking deep fat fried
the
symbol
brain beast
goes up,
ain't gonna be attacking.
I'm not coming.
Because
you stay.
I
you do your paperwork
it,
in the Scotty castle. I'll stay in the holodeck.
I defeated the motherfucker.
Let this dumb motherfucker go face the brain beast by himself.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Wait a minute. Of the three of us, who's the deep? Who's the fat? And who's the fried?
I mean, I think any one of us.
Can be any of those.
Can be any of those.
Well, Scotty's not really that fat.
No. So I guess Scotty's exempt from the fat, but...
Certainly not deep. Maybe he's fried.
I'm fried, dude.
I think we're all fried.
We're all fucking fried. Dude, you know what? You know what it is? We're all deep fat fried. That's what
audience, you can decide. Tell us who's who. I think Paul's probably going to be the one saddled with fat, but maybe you'll...
Yeah. I mean, what else is fucking new?
What's new?
What else is new?
Hey, Paul, you might not realize this, but you fat!
TJ's diet cheating ass sitting there fat as the fucking moon, but I'm the one that always gets all
TJ
the goddamn
actually,
fat jokes.
I'm not as round as you.
That's because you just got more fucking extra height.
Dude. I got seconds.
You know what TJ claimed to me? He's like, I'm finally back in ketosis.
Yep.
Is that true, TJ?
Yep, it's true.
Where's the pee strip to prove it?
Yeah, why don't you go piss on... You got a keto strip, don't you? Why don't you bring me somewhere. A bright red keto strip, TJ?
I mean, it's not heavy ketosis.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude, I don't
all
know
right.
that.
What, there's different levels, because
we
dude.
Can do a pee strip test right now, TJ, and see which one of us
I'm
is
sure
doing better
you're
on the
doing
diet.
Fine, Paul. I'm sure you're doing fine. I mean, I'm sure you're doing better because you haven't cheated at all, as far as I know. And I've
not
cheated
at all.
Like 8 times, so...
Dude, you know. You just brought home another gallon of whole milk.
Dude... I've been reading about it, and in most of the fucking keto blogs say that whole milk is okay in moderation because of high fat
dude,
content.
Oh, dude, already the fucking slurping. Look, moderation. Are you going to do it in moderation, TJ?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'm going to do it in fucking moderation.
Dude, one cup of milk has 12 grams of carbs.
TJ, you're not going to do anything in moderation is the answer.
One cup of milk, 12 grams of carbs. If you're trying to be in heavy ketosis, you can have 2 cups of milk a day.
Yeah.
How many cups will you be having?
Well, a lot
TJ?
Of the, I mean, you got to look at net carbs.
How many cups will you be having today, TJ?
I'm going to have a glass a day. At the end of the day, I like a nice
How
glass
of How big
of
a
milk.
Glass, TJ?
Just a normal size fucking glass,
A normal size glass this big?
No. I mean, you know, that's not for, you know, I'd have like a, like, you know, like this.
A mason jar full.
No, not a mason jar, Paul.
Yes, dude.
You know, you guys are fucking full of shit.
Drink. Hold up your drink. Yeah, that filled to the brim, I bet.
Do I have anything I could throw at you over here that wouldn't fucking injure you? No, I guess I don't.
What do you want to injure us?
I don't want to injure you. I could easily throw something big and heavy over there, but I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to let you know my disgust with your guys' behavior on this show.
Whatever, TJ.
So today's topic is a little bit of a weird one.
It's a wacky topic.
It's based on a series of some
wacky characters from a big wacky book.
It's animals of the Bible.
There are some interesting ones.
It's interesting. It's just a little, atypical. You know, you wouldn't think about that.
And for all the completists of the world, this is not a comprehensive list that would take forever.
We just wanted to look at a few animals mentioned in the Bible.
Stay away from the most popular one, which is the snake. Everybody knows the snake,
And everyone knows the whale.
Right, so we don't really get in much into them, but we're going to look at some of the other animal denizens of the Bible.
Yeah, such as, for instance, the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Humble dinosaur. animals of the Bible. All right, here we go. In Job 40, 15 through 19, there is a reference to what is certainly the creature we call dinosaur. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins. Okay. And his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his nose are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. Well, are they brass or iron? Make up your fucking mind.
Both, yeah. Dude.
He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approacheth him. Fucking Bible language. For this animal to be described by God as the chief, it must surely have been huge and magnificent sight.
Why?
Not only that, the Bible is full of crazy monsters and shit. So what makes you think they're talking about a dinosaur here and not just some fucking crazy creature that entered
the
Bible
thing about this is,
writer minds?
As you may wonder, like, famously, like, there's the Creationist Museum, there's the Ark Encounter and shit. You know, they have to kind of make all these animals somehow fit into this narrative that the Earth's 6,000 years old.
That's backwards. You're looking at it backwards, you unbelieving scum, dude.
I'm sorry.
Scum. No. That verse... Okay, so let me ask you a question, TJ. If that verse isn't about a dinosaur,
what's
it about?
It's about some monster that... was cooked up in the mind of
Mind, TJ. Let me ask you another question, TJ.
Yeah, what's that?
If that monster didn't exist, why did this guy take the time to write it down and describe it? Checkmate, bitch.
Dude, I got no
answer. So the monsters from like Deep Blue Sea must be real too, right?
What are you talking about? That's just a movie.
Okay.
This is the Bible.
It's a work of fiction, TJ.
The Bible, y'all.
Don't you know?
It says here, behemoth in Hebrew, or is it behemoth? It's behemoth. In Hebrew means gigantic beast. Some, trying to relate this animal to our own experience, say it refers to an elephant or a hippopotamus, yet neither of those have a tail like a cedar, so faggots don't know
shit.
What
else could it be?
Elsewhere in the Bible, there are mentions of animals fitting descriptions of different kinds of dinosaurs for which we have physical evidence, okay? So
okay.
Isaiah 27:1 says, "And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." Boom, boom.
Obviously, talking about a plesiosaur,
yep,
ocean-dwelling giant of the dinosaur age. So I'm convinced.
In the day of the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Uh-huh. Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Yep. Sounds reasonable. Sounds like a fucking, whatever you said, plastic sore or whatever the fuck.
A plesiosaur, TJ.
I'm not a dinosaur expert.
Come on, the Bible's talking about it here.
Jeremiah 51:34 says, "He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates."
Whoa.
Jesus.
Damn. All your
sounds
delicates?
Kinky, dude. Sounds kinky as fuck.
That does sound kind of kinky.
This is an actual picture.
This is a picture of Jesus with a dinosaur. Actual photograph. Psalms 74:13, thou breakest the heads of the dragon in the waters. Okay.
What about all the dragons that were running around on land? Why are those never mentioned?
The water dragons were a much bigger concern.
You'd think the T-Rexes and shit. And lo, the dragon did come, and like, why is there none of that? Why is it all something that lives out in the ocean, the big great unknown?
Job 41, I don't think you know the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
Job 41, 19 through 21. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Yeah, because remember all the famous fire-breathing dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Out of his nostrils goeth smoke.
I mean, it sounds more like a dragon, but I guess it's really a dinosaur.
No, it isn't. You've never heard about Flame Breathosaurus Rex?
No.
Flame Breathosaurus Rex was just discovered, Scotty.
As out of a seething pot or cauldron, his breath kindleth coals, and flames go out of his mouth. Okay, yeah, great. Isaiah 36. Not 36, but 30. Six, the viper and fiery flying serpent. Yeah, because remember the fucking flying serpent that shoots fire out of its mouth?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a mythical dragon. That sounds like a fucking dinosaur, right?
Of course.
Most often, these animals are referred to as dragons, as we see in the Bible, because there was no word dinosaur.
Oh,
remember that dinosaur is a more modern term coined in 1841 by Sir Richard Owen, an English anatomist, from the Greek word dinos, terrible and monstrous, and saurus, meaning lizard. We may even be living with them still in the form of Komodo dragons. Science has proven to be shifting sands. The Bible... steadfast.
Wow.
Okay.
So the reason why the Bible...
The Lord God made us all, period. Yeah, that's how that wraps
because
up.
Because this is in the Bible, that's why some Christians really try to own the dinosaur thing. It's because they're like, oh shit, it says in fucking Genesis that God creates everything, all the animals and all the beasts, and man has dominion over them. So that means dinosaurs, which we have evidence for them existing, so they have to have existed at the same time.
Yeah, listen
that's
to some
why that's why they try to own it so
well,
hard.
Hold on, guys, listen to all the evidence before you dismiss.
Our understanding of the sun as a giant ball of nuclear flaming gas,
mm-hmm,
shifting.
It's shifting.
Fag's idea that the sun is a giant eye watching him and looking over the hunt, steadfast.
Steadfast.
I can't dispute that.
Unchanged since time immemorial. All the basic kinds of living creatures were brought into existence in the same initial week. Yep.
Yep.
Moses wrote, in 6 days, Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. This would include the dinosaurs.
It has to.
It would.
And man as well. Jesus himself affirmed that mankind has existed from the beginning of creation. Yeah, he said... He said that, and he said he said that in Mark 10:6, by the way. This certainly excludes the notion that dinosaurs became extinct millions of years before man appeared on the planet. Oh, yeah, destroys it.
Yep. Not even worth looking into.
Humanity was given dominion over all the lower creatures of the earth in Genesis 1:26. There is no reason to exclude dinosaurs from the scope of that passage. So dinosaurs are our bitches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
As is evidenced by all these photos that you found from that era.
I mean, here you even see that Jesus
Dino
himself
Jesus
was a velociraptor.
Velociraptor Jesus.
There is a growing body of evidence that dinosaurs and humans were contemporary.
Oh,
like, for instance, in a 1970 newspaper report, a reporter discovered that the cave paintings in Zimbabwe that depicted human beings hanging out with dinosaurs, dude.
Whoa.
Wow, dude.
I'm sold.
There's accurate representations of the elephant and the giraffe in the painting, and a fucking brontosaurus was up in there.
Damn.
How do you explain that, atheist checkmate?
These artworks have greatly puzzled scientists, since Bushmen are known to have painted from real life. And the source for that is the Bible Science Newsletter from 1970.
A reputable source.
Of course.
Indeed. Definitely not one that you'd want to call into question at all.
Unimpeachable, I believe.
Unimpeachable,
is the
indeed.
Word you're looking for, Paul.
Yes.
After about 70 years ago, Dr. Samuel Hubbard, curator of archaeology in the Oakland, California Museum, discovered dinosaur carvings off the cliffs, the cliff walls of Havasupai in Arizona. One remarkable carving resembled a Tyrannosaurus. Nearby dinosaur tracks were preserved in the rock surface. So why does mainstream science just continue to refuse
to acknowledge
that this is the truth?
Look at that, dude.
And this is Jesus riding a raptor. Here's Jesus getting fucking eaten by a fucking T-Rex or a raptor or something.
Saying, I choose Jesus.
That's what the crucifixion used to be about. People have this idea that people were just hung there until they were dead. No, they were just hung there and left out for the fucking raptors and T-Rexes
just
to come
out
along.
Until the raptors showed up, you know. So the next biblical animal we're going to be looking at is the unicorn.
The unicorn?
Yeah.
Unicorns.
Here you go.
Let's take a look.
Look at this sparkly shit here. I'll give you some sparkles, Paul. You like it?
That's beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
What a beautiful, majestic animal. It's
interesting because this is actually only mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible.
Yeah, they excise it from other ones.
Yeah, the modern Bible, it's wild ox or oxen.
Nope, unicorn, dude. Unicorn. Like in Numbers 23:22, it says, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Wow. It's
whoa.
Pretty strong. I don't know how strong a unicorn is, but I'm willing to bet.
Pretty fucking strong.
You know,
dude.
Pretty strong.
Dude, you've seen Legend. If you chop their horn off, like the sun goes out. That's a pretty strong animal.
Numbers 24:8 says, God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. Holy shit. Who are they talking about here, man? This motherfucker's hardcore. Job, once again, same book that told us about dinosaurs. Here's some passages from Job. This is 39:9. It says, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib?
Wow, dude.
Also in Job 39:10, which is, I guess, the next verse, canst thou bind the unicorn with his name in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? I don't know. It's a good question. I can't tell you how many times I've stayed up at night just tossing and turning like, ugh! Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? God damn it!
Yeah, dude.
Mankind must know.
And how many times have you been walking home from work through the valleys and been harrowed by the unicorn, dude?
Oh, so many times.
Oh, every night.
So many fucking times.
After we finish doing this show, dude, I'm kind of scared to walk home through the valley knowing the unicorn might,
yeah, dude,
might
be careful
me.
Going through the valley, dude. Don't be harrowed by the unicorn.
And then Psalms 29:6 says, he maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn.
Wow. Oh. Like a young unicorn.
So here's some Christian explanations of why
mythical animals are mentioned in the Bible. There's never been any evidence of a unicorn that's ever been found. So, I mean, it's why they believe they just don't exist.
Wrong.
No, Paul. No. Paul, listen to the Christian argument. Look, they make a good argument. I think you're going to be thoroughly convinced after hearing this argument.
Okay.
All right.
Keep it in mind.
I got some bad news for you, Scotty.
What?
Some bad news, bitch.
What? What's the bad news?
Check it out.
Uh-oh, Scotty. Check and mate. That looks like a unicorn skull to me. I don't know. What's that look like to you, TJ? I'm no anthropologist.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
But it looks like a horse skull. I've seen those before. But what's that coming off the top of it there? It looks like a spiral unicorn horn?
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Look at all this shit.
Well, that's like, I think that's actually an ancient,
Yeah.
Fucking!
That's what they was written about in the Bible, right there.
Oh, okay. The woolly rhinoceros.
The woolly rhino. I don't know. So anyhow, here's why these animals keep cropping up in the Bible. Unicorns are not mentioned in any of the modern translations. Only in the King James Version are they mentioned. Most of the modern translations say wild ox. Some even say buffalo. However, many Christian apologists are insistent that the King James Version is the most accurate of all the English translations. If you get an old 1828 Noah Webster's dictionary, which is the very first edition of the dictionary that Webster came out with about 200 years ago, and look up the word unicorn, it says, unicorn, an animal with one horn, a monosaurus. This name is often applied to the rhinoceros. It could be a rhino. Yeah, all right.
Notice how this
200-year-old definition of the word unicorn says absolutely nothing about a horse. It says nothing about a horse-like animal or a mythical animal or a fictitious creature. It says absolutely nothing about mythology whatsoever, but rather it says the name that is often applied to the rhinoceros. Now, anyone who has seen a rhinoceros knows that the rhino has two horns, a larger one up front and a smaller one behind. So how could the rhinoceros be considered a unicorn? Well, if you look up the word rhinoceros in the same dictionary, it says, rhinoceros, a genus of quadrupeds of two species, one of which, the unicorn, has a single horn growing almost erect from the nose. This animal, when full grown, is said to be 12 feet in length. I'm pretty sure that animal doesn't exist. There is another species with two horns, the bicornis. They are natives of Asia and Africa.
You know, it's funny how this really just all falls apart. And it falls apart really quick. So you talk about the 1828 definition of the word. But the King James Bible was written about 200 years before that even came out. Or if not more, I think it came out in like the 1500s.
Yeah, I have
like
no
1511,
idea.
1400s, the 15th century. I mean, it came out hundreds of years before that dictionary even came out. So, did those people even know what a rhinoceros was when they were translating it?
I have no idea. And I don't think that there was too many rhinos running around in, like, they're fucking native to, like, Asia and Africa, right? I don't think they were really...
As far as I know.
Yeah, I don't think they're really in the Middle East where all this shit is said to have happened, so... Not really sure what's going on there. Now, I did a video on my channel not too long ago called 10 More What the Fuck Bible Passages. And one of the passages I read concerned Elisha and the bears. And in case you didn't see that video, I'll go ahead and reaffirm what was said there. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. "Get out of here, Baldy," they said. "Get out of here, Baldy." He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord.
Damn.
Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. And he went on to Mount Carmel from there and returned to Samaria.
That's a gigantic gang of boys just to start off. There's like 42 of them got mauled, so there must have been more. The implication
Correct.
There is that there were more than 42. So there's like a gang of 50 kids. And poor Elisha's just walking down a goddamn road.
Fuck you, bald bitch.
I mean, he's God's new prophet. Just trying to fucking take a stroll. Trying to fucking tell the people what's what. Bunch of little kids come up to him and go, "Hey, fuck you, Baldy."
Goddamn.
Well, how does God respond?
God's a prick.
Sends a fucking bear. A she-bear, dude.
She-bear.
Fucks those motherfuckers up.
Check it out.
Prophet Elisha traveled by the city of Bethel. He was feeling pretty down because his master Elijah had just been sucked up into heaven by God.
And isn't that a good thing? Why do they have demonic hamster eyes? What the fuck?
Elisha's feelings were hurt. His feelings were hurt.
By the evil little doll children who want to inhabit his soul.
God would do.
In the name of the Lord, I curse you.
Thanks, God.
God bless all of his children everywhere.
It's a beautiful story, dude.
It really is.
I mean, I think it's kind of one of the most beautiful stories I've ever seen. You know, bald guy just walking down the street, minding his own fucking business.
I mean, he's having a bad day, too. His master just got sucked up into heaven.
Yeah, the last thing he needed was a bunch of punk-ass bitch kids coming up to him and talking all kinds of shit like, oh, Elisha, you bald. I think those kids had it coming. I think they deserve to be mauled to death.
Dude, if you were the prophet, they'd have been like, go up, receding hairline. Go up, receding hairline.
What? Go up?
That's what they say. Go up, thou bald head.
This is probably the King James version.
I found a nice like little picture of it, too. Here's another depiction, you know.
Beautiful.
Look how happy the bear is to be eating the kids, too.
Well, I mean, God commanded the bears to do it, so.
Kind of heartwarming, you know.
Well, I mean, when your Lord and Savior tells you, like, look, you got to go maul those 42 kids, I mean, what are you going to do?
Here's one where they're not even, like, they're not even trying to be ironic or anything here. They're just showing it, like, yeah, this is what happened. Also, apparently, the people, they didn't really know what a bear looked like, I guess. So.
Oh.
The bears look kind of like werewolves for some reason.
Yeah, those are strange bears.
They're just all like, don't fuck with me, bitches. He's giving that fucking hand.
I mean, it's not like these artists at this time had like photo references.
Some fucking werewolves
shit, you know?
Fucking jump out, start fucking killing the kids. Hey, fuck you, kids.
Yeah, he doesn't even care either. Look at him. He's like, peh. Fuck all of you.
Fuck you stupid little fucking faggots. That's
teach
what you
to call me bald.
Call me
I did.
Bald,
I did read
you?
About this that like bald used to mean something else back then because baldness was associated with leprosy.
Yeah,
and so being called a baldy back in the day was like a real insult because it was like telling people, "Hey, don't go near him. He's a fucking baldy." Because yeah, so
sounds cool,
but still, it's a little harsh, don't you think? You think God?
You have leprosy. Be mauled by bears.
Yeah. It's a little harsh on God's part.
Not God. God is perfect.
I think,
Paul.
You know, a bear meant a different thing at that time as well. So, you know.
Like, what did it mean?
You know, I mean, I think, this explains what was really going on
couple
there.
Couple of gay bears. I see what's going on there.
Yeah, you see what's going on.
Ooh la la.
So we have a video that's going to apparently take a deeper look at this. Let's see. This is the real meaning.
The real meaning.
In the Bible, the prophet Elisha is definitely one of the good guys. He gets messages from God, performs miracles for God, and tries to get the people of Israel to follow
God.
But there's one story about Elisha that seems a little off.
Well, you know, I mean, like, if he... It said there he was bringing babies back to life, so, I mean, like, yeah, he killed a few kids, but think about all the kids he saved.
He saved a lot of kids, you're right.
You know, you gotta fucking look at both sides of the equation.
Why is this artist putting so much hair on Elisha's head?
Yeah, isn't he supposed to be bald? Whatever.
In this story, Elisha is on his way to the town of Bethel when a bunch of boys start following him and mocking him. Go up, you bald head, they say. Now, these days, being bald...
There is no other evidence Elisha was bald. Well, it says so in the fucking Bible.
Chrome dome. You're a chrome dome.
This guy specifically, he's recounting this story, but he's like, I'm drawing him with hair because there's no evidence. There's no other evidence Elisha was bald. No other evidence.
Just the book that you.
So like. Obviously this guy desperately doesn't want Elisha to be bald. Like, he's like, fuck no, dude. No, I ain't drawing no bald piece of shit.
Well, the dude drawing this is probably bald. He's insecure.
If I was a blind dude who was asking for historical evidence of a dude's baldness, and there was a well-known story about him walking by a group of 50-plus kids, and they yelled baldy at him, I'd consider that pretty strong evidence that he was a bald dude. I don't know.
You're bald, bald!
Well, how critical they are of, like, you know, that little detail, but anything else in the Bible, just face value.
It is no big deal. Lots of people shave their heads on purpose, actually. But back then, baldness was associated with leprosy.
Oh, yeah.
So it was looked at as a pretty bad thing. Calling someone bald was a significant insult. So Elisha turned on the boys and cursed them. And when he did, two bears came out of the woods and attacked, mauling 42 of the boys. Yes, indeed, 42 children mauled by bears for calling Elisha a baldhead. Nice, huh? And if you don't believe it, you can check it out. 2 Kings 2:23-24. As you might imagine, this story is not a favorite for church services. Yes, there's a message there, but it's hardly one that justifies mauling children.
I disagree.
It's also been a tough one for people trying to explain and interpret the Bible. Typically, commentators will say that these were adult men, not children, and that they were a pretty nasty group, sort of biblical soccer hooligans. They were mocking a prophet and...
I mean, where does it say that again?
Nowhere.
Where does
just
it say
how
that
we justify something horrible like a bear
Streets.
Mauling a kid for
yeah,
calling somebody
boys.
Baldy.
Dude, they're
listen,
actually men.
They were actually men, first of all.
How does that change it, though?
Listen, you gotta the things you gotta understand about this story is, first of all, he was not actually bald. Second of all, the boys were actually
really
men,
boys.
So they deserve to die. And third of all, bald was a way worse insult back then. You know, that was way worse.
Well, also, he's a prophet, TJ.
And, you know, also, yeah, he was a chosen man of God,
little,
you know, all that shit.
Violence was justified. But that's a bit of a stretch based on the original language. And besides, what about turning the other cheek? Or, say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's just a little hard to see the holiness here. But what if the story is more symbolic? What if Elisha's...
Here
we
symbolism.
Go.
I like it.
All right, so, all right, guys. This is one of those rare Bible stories that's like... symbolic. We don't like this one, so yeah, it's like a symbolic
story. It's not literal
story.
This time. This time it's symbolic.
You know, the good stories, those are all literal. The bad stories, it's more like a symbolic story. You know what
the,
I'm saying?
The Bible is always, there's a quote, I don't know who said it. The Bible is always literal when you're talking about how it should be implemented and always figurative when you're defending it.
Stands for something spiritual. What if his hair does too, and the boys and the bears? What if the message is something a whole lot deeper?
All right.
You can find that kind of explanation in the work of an 18th century thinker named Emanuel Swedenborg. According to Swedenborg, Elisha represents God himself as we can come to know him through the Bible.
You know, like, if you're going to do these, like, drawing videos, maybe you should be able to draw.
That would help.
Just, like, I don't know. Maybe this style of video ain't for you because you can't draw.
He's doing a good job. Don't you think so, TJ? Look at him.
No, I don't. I mean, like, this is... Okay.
...presents the outermost layer of something, which makes sense since our hair is the outermost part of our bodies. Elisha's hair, then, represents the outermost layer of God in the Bible, or, to put it simply, the stories of the Bible themselves.
Why is it this
You call... what did you call a stretch earlier? Like someone who said, yeah, well, maybe the boys were actually men. And he's like, that's kind of a stretch. And then he's going with this.
Yeah.
The hair is the outermost part of the body, so.
Okay, so the hair, hear me out. The hair is the outermost part of the body. So in this story, it's the outermost part of God. So,
right.
Like, where? How is.
The boys
know.
Here represent intelligence and logic, which are great, but can be used for bad things. That kind of
the boy. Okay,
makes
the
sense
boys
too.
Represent
we all
intelligence
know how intelligent
and
logical kids can sound when they're
but
trying
can
to
be
get
used
what they
for
want.
Bad things.
Dad, if you don't get me the Videotron K2000 cyborg game system, I'll have to go to my friends' houses and play theirs. And someone might have drugs, and someone might bring a gun. And you really need to get me this, or my life will be ruined.
That's not logical at all. Whatever.
If you haven't heard that kind of thing as a parent, you're probably still...
What product is this that I'm looking at here?
The Videotron 9000 game system, TJ.
It shoots arrows,
okay, so
bullets, it has a screen.
It shoots bullets, arrows, has a fucking can opener or something on the top of it.
It's a lightning rod, dude.
And it has an antenna that looks like a fucking curly fry or a phone cord. I mean,
yeah.
What is that?
Doing it as a kid. That brings us to the bears. They represent the power that stories in the Bible have, even when people don't understand them. That's a trick.
Huh?
rewind that?
Okay, hold on. Let me hear that one more time.
That brings us to the bears. They represent the power that stories in the Bible have, even when people don't understand them.
What?
That's a tricky concept, but basically it...
So you don't understand the stories, but they're still powerful.
You confuse a tricky concept with gibberish. It's not a tricky concept, it's just fucking straight-up gibberish. There's no reason for any of these interpretations.
The only trick being played here is the one you're playing on yourself to convince yourself that this isn't anything but what it is.
I mean, holy shit.
means that the stories of the Bible, because they are from God and actually kind of are God, have a special power to set our minds in order, even when we don't understand them on the surface.
Okay, wait, so you don't understand finally, them, but the they're just magical, we're told so that... it helps you anyways.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Look, you may not get what the Bible is saying, but because God loves you and God is part of the Bible and is the Bible in a sense, it's all good. It's still benefiting you. Especially just excusing the scripture you don't like. So, oh, yeah, the scripture says something that you think is reprehensible, but it's really just God working, so it's okay. You just don't understand it. Pray more and think about it more.
Wow. This representation he's using is just, like, beyond absurd. Like, yeah, there's no justification for reading the story and interpreting
it.
He's
just read into random elements of the story and interpret them.
I mean, you could do anything with this, you know?
Of course you could.
Represents blasphemy, which is the act of stripping all the holiness away from something. Put it all together, and what do we have? We have a picture of people using logic and intelligence, represented by the boys, to attack the idea that God is actually...
All right, you know, whatever. That's you're fucking so full of shit.
They're attacking the idea. No, hear the rest of this bullshit. This is
there inside the stories of the Bible. By saying Elisha is bald, they're saying that the stories represented by his hair have nothing to do with God represented by Elisha. And what happens to these people? Basically, they get smashed by the power of the Bible, the bears, without even knowing it's happening. Their logic and intelligence get brought down to keep them from doing actual damage in their attempts to blaspheme. That might sound harsh, but think about it. Do you know anyone who attacks other people's ideas and just keeps on attacking no matter what? I'll bet you do, and I'll bet it's not someone you really like being around. They tend to stop making sense long before they stop talking. That's what people become when they spend too much time attacking holy things without thinking about what they might really mean. If you don't want to be like that, then here's a tip. Show some respect for Elisha, and definitely don't call him bald.
He's a bald piece of shit. Fuck Elisha and his stupid fucking ass, and fuck you and your mother. How's that for respect?
Bitch. All right, so you guys know the story of Balaam and his ass, dude.
Dude, Balaam had a big old fat ass.
He had a fine ass. His ass was nice, dude.
It was a fine ass.
He had a Balaamkadonk, dude.
Balaamkadonk, yeah, bitch.
Dude, he had fucking Donkey from Shrek, dude.
There you go.
There it is, dude. Look at that ass.
Look at that ass. Dad ass. Dad ass. Yeah.
And that's a badass, dude.
It's a badass ass. You see, he's trying to beat it with a stick.
Dude, Balaam was kind of an asshole to his donkey.
He was.
That's the whole point of the story.
Yeah, I mean, it's about mistreating his donkey, dude.
Yep.
Balaam rose up in the morning. He saddled his ass. Oh, yeah, I bet he did.
Ooh.
Went with the princes of Moab, who you will remember, the Moabites are the incestuous descendants of Lot and his daughters.
Our buddy Lot.
So that's a little biblical
fact
for you.
All comes around full circle, doesn't it?
And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. So an angel of the Lord just comes down and fucking...
Gets in the path.
Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in his way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass. Yeah, smote that ass. To turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on the side and a wall on that side. So the angel of the Lord is just not getting out of the fucking way as usual. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again.
Damn.
And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way either to the right hand or the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote his ass with a staff.
Damn, dude.
He's pissed.
This animal abuse. I mean... The ass is just afraid of this fucking angel. It's in the middle of the damn path. What is the ass to do?
I mean, how come Balaam is, like, just ignore? Like, what is he trying to do? Outrun the angels on the fucking donkey or some shit? And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. That's got to be the best fucking sentence in the Bible.
The Lord opened the mouth of the ass.
Balaam is not getting it. The Lord realizes direct intervention. He's got to fucking tell Balaam what's what.
Yeah, okay. I mean, whatever. I just like how dirty it sounds. Whatever. And she said unto Balaam, the donkey starts talking at this point, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Oh my God, a fucking duck!" No, he didn't.
No.
He's like, and Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee."
Fuck, dude.
And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day?"
That's a good point.
"Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel. Oh, okay, so the angel was invisible to him.
Oh, yeah, he didn't see the angel till then.
In the way, and his sword drawn in hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I would have slain thee and saved her alive." So the
fucking ass saved his
ass
fucking ass,
saved
dude.
His ass, dude.
Fuck
three
you,
times.
Balaam.
And he paid the ass back by smoting him. By smiting him, dude.
Her, dude. The ass is a girl.
The fucking
ass. Oh, sorry, her.
Is a fine ass.
Don't
dude.
Misgender the ass, dude.
Dude, he was smiting on his ass and shit for no reason.
And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases thee, I will get me back again." Wow. What a powerful story. Let's watch a video on that, huh?
Yeah, this is I found a beautiful representation of this story.
Yeah, let's watch it.
With some amazing graphics.
Whoa.
The Israelites had traveled the desert.
It's like 3D and shit.
This is an immersive experience.
They yes.
I feel like I'm in an Israeli camp right now.
Waiting for a time to cross into the promised land.
Do it.
Balak, king of Moab.
Oh, shit.
Did you see Balak?
Balak is terrifying.
And Og, the king of Bashan, and had taken their lands. Now
it was a pretty gray land, and all they have is actually not any people. They're just tents.
The land of infinite tents. Okay, why didn't it, what? All right.
So Balak sent messengers to Balaam.
That's the most fluid animation I've ever seen.
Oh my God, what am I watching?
He would not come the first time because God told him to.
He would not come the first time.
So Balak sent more messengers.
Why is there so much innuendo?
When they arrived at Balaam's, they said,
"What's up?
Balak still wants you to come.
Stay tonight. I will answer you in the morning."
God came to Balaam.
This is fucking
said,
hideous.
Dude, this is awesome.
"If the men come to call you, rise up and go."
That's
with
what
them.
I meant, you know.
"You shall do as I
awesome.
Shall do."
Hey, I have such a greater
hey,
understanding
it's me, God.
Of the story.
The messenger returned.
"Balak still wants you to come.
Tell Balak that I will come."
So Balaam got his donkey, mounted her, and began the journey
oh
to Balak.
Oh my God.
God was
angel.
Angry because he went. So the angel of the Lord stood in the path with his sword. When the donkey saw the angel, she turned off the path into the field. Balaam beat the donkey and
yeah, bitch.
Into the path.
Come on,
get back on the path,
the Lord
bitch.
Stood in the path where there was a wall
the
on
path.
Both sides. The donkey pushed herself against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall.
So the donkey
Balaam
gets.
Beat the donkey again. The angel went further where there was no room to turn to the right or to the left. Having nowhere to go, the donkey laid down.
The
Balaam
ass knew
was
his place.
Even angrier, so he beat the donkey with a stick. So the Lord opened the mouth
the
donkey.
What the fuck?
"What have I done that you have struck me these three times?"
"Because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now."
"Have I
oh,
ever done
you.
Anything like this to you before?"
"No."
The Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel and bowed before him.
This.
"Why have you struck your donkey these three times?"
I feel like it's. I feel like we're watching like a really bad, like, what is that? What's that fucking thing? FarmersOnly.com, dude. The fucking. They have a talking ass like, hey, Balaam, you need to go to farmersonly.com.
Farmersonly.com wouldn't even fuck with this, dude.
Hey, Balaam, did you know you could save up to 50% on your car insurance by switching to Geico?
I've come out because your intent is a...
Whoa!
You've come out?
That is a creepy fucking angel, dude.
I am an angel of the Lord. Yeah. I have come to punish you for your wicked ways.
The Lord's. But the donkey saw me.
Why does he sound like a fucking retard?
Which way did he go?
I mean, like, everything about this is just pure unmitigated ass, including the ass.
And it turned aside these three times. If she had not, I would have killed you and let her live.
Okay.
I'm going to play that one more time.
I like the delivery.
If she had not, I would have killed you and let her live.
Okay,
I have
soulless
sinned.
Angel.
I did not know you were standing in the way. I will turn back if you want me to.
Continue on, but you shall speak only the word which I shall tell you.
So Balaam mounted and continued on
but
his way.
Remember, guys, free will.
What word was told to him?
Remember, free will. You may continue on, but speak only the words I have told you.
Okay. The end.
This is an early film by the great Roger Bryson, CEO and owner of Disney Pixar. Leon Smith worked on this? And Lois? Holy shit.
Look at all these people. Balaam was played by Roger Bowl. The donkey was played by Becky Bowl. And God and the Angel were both played by Edward Griffith.
Wow.
The legendary Edward
Griffith.
Wow,
they spared no expense.
As you guys
on this
know,
film.
These are all top voice actors. Hash Animation, one of the greatest studios around.
It was made in 2005.
Oh, do not copy or distribute without permission.
Well, too bad.
Do you have their permission? Oh, you're going to get in trouble.
You can't copyright dog shit, last I checked.
Well, it seems they've tried.
I don't know, dude. That was something fucking else.
Well, don't beat your donkey. I agree with that biblical story.
Don't beat your ass, Paul.
I guess that's the message.
Yeah, don't beat on your animals and shit.
And don't defy God.
Don't defy God. And
be
then,
nice.
Of course, there's the famous story of Noah's Ark.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot about the animals in this, but there's a lot of questions that are raised by
Let's
the animals.
Take a look. Yeah. So Noah's Ark. Here's the real story. Okay.
The real one?
Oh shit, dude.
The real.
They seem to
story.
Like that a lot. Christians really like the real story.
I don't know. Is this a Christian site? Or is this
I think this is a Christian site.
I would
yes.
bet this is a Christian site.
There's one of those unicorns with two horns there.
Of course.
When most people think of Noah's Ark, they think of the animals and have questions. We'll talk about three. For answers to six of the most common questions about the animals on the Ark, check out Noah, the real story. Could all the animals fit on the Ark? No.
No.
No, they couldn't.
Spoiler, no.
How did the animals breathe, and was there proper ventilation?
Another good question, and no.
Probably not. What did Noah do with all the waste generated by the animals?
I mean...
Drowned in it, probably.
Like, why couldn't you just throw it overboard?
It's too much
he
to
scooped
even
it off,
deal
dude.
With. How did Noah and his family feed and water 16,000 animals? I think that number
is a little
shockingly low, but...
Well, it said he animals of every kind,
oh,
TJ.
Right. The
well,
weird,
God,
the biblical
look,
distinction.
God put them on the ark. God provided for them.
All right, so let's see what these questions are. How many animals were on the ark? Answer, a lot. Probably not as many as you think.
Oh.
The key here is the meaning, according to their kinds.
Oh, kinds.
Yes.
Kinds. When God told Noah to take... Birds, animals, creeping things, male and female, according to their kinds. What does kind mean? Does kind mean species? There are millions of species, somewhere between 3 and 30 million. Or does kind mean genus? Oh.
See?
So they just brought two of every genus of animal.
Yes, so they could then re-evolve.
Yeah, they brought groups of animals, TJ.
Yeah, okay. A little bit higher over the taxonomical ladder or whatever the fuck. Were there dinosaurs on the ark?
There must have been, right? We learned earlier that there were dinosaurs during biblical times.
Answer, if dinosaurs were around, they would have been on the ark. Well, were they around or not? Dinosaurs are fascinating because the diverse group includes the largest animals to ever walk the earth. Yeah, how would you even fit a fucking brontosaurus on the goddamn ark?
They didn't bring a brontosaurus. They brought one of the little chicken dinosaurs. One of the kind, TJ.
Oh, okay. What did Noah feed the animals? Hay, grain, meat, and lots of we don't really know, but we can make an educated guess. Okay. The educated guess is that this story is bullshit.
The story is a work of pure fiction, and there's no way these animals all could have coexisted, because a lot of these animals, the survival depends on some of their competitors being on the ship dying.
I mean, the fucking Bible gives you...
How would carnivorous animals survive?
The Bible tells you the dimensions of the fucking ark, and it's just not big enough.
You bring enough extra animals for the carnivores to eat.
Not to mention there's some animals that... they cannot possibly survive in that environment. They need specific environmental conditions to survive in.
Yeah.
An ark is not going to fulfill those, so a lot of these animals are going to die.
Like what?
Like what? The aquatic animals.
Well, they didn't need to be on the ark. What about... they were in the ocean.
Yeah, they're in the ocean, but a lot of those animals still need to breathe. They still need land. Like seals, for example. Seals can be in the ocean,
well,
but they also need land.
They went on the ark when they needed to.
Yeah, they just jumped off
and swim. There was a revolving door on the ark?
Yes.
Like a plank.
And all the freshwater fish just stayed in the... God separated the freshwater parts of the ocean from
the freshwater animals, all
saltwater
just
parts
to.
Of the ocean. It was like a brackish mix.
Oh, so God just kept them separate.
And they had an insectarium in there.
What about the ones that need like specific conditions? Like, the ark has a lot of animals, generally a lot of body heat. So, what about the animals that need like colder conditions?
Like polar bears?
Yeah,
like penguins and polar bears.
Okay, so kinds, dude. God didn't bring those.
He brought
a bear.
He
brought a bird.
I have a fucking bearded dragon. I'm pretty sure that you have to create a fucking environment for them, like an artificial little environment in their tank
for your bearded dragon.
And also,
what
about predation? What
about a lizard that has more hardy?
So you bring lions, right? But lions,
I'm just saying, like, there's all these different animals from all over the planet that need different conditions.
Yeah. You don't bring a lion; you bring a house cat. It's the same kind.
Yeah, both felines.
But they're still going to want prey on the smaller mammals in there because that's what cats do.
So you bring a big basket of mice. Feed them the mice.
They didn't say they brought a big
basket
of mice.
Just hope that two were left at the end. So let's watch a little Noah's Ark cartoon. I think it's a cartoon. Noah's Ark, Noah's Ark. This is called Bizarre Noah's Ark Cartoon.
Why don't we just kill them now?
Of course. I don't see why we have to worry about that foolish lion and his stupid friends.
I can see that fat has weakened.
Says there's a lion on
there.
Is this
a failed Tony the Tiger or something?
Aren't you aware that we've earned the respect of all the animals on board?
It's great.
And why would we want the herbivores' respect?
They're acceptable.
Are they worried about not having a lettuce's respect?
You imbeciles. The world to come will have...
You imbeciles!
So the animals on the ark had their own political machinations going
on. Oh, shit, dude. So it makes
sense. Carnivores versus the herbivores and shit.
Yeah, they were all up to some fucking, Game of Thrones.
Oh, so it was like Game of Thrones alliances. Okay, I'm kind of understanding it a little bit better now.
Yeah, like the gators and the wolves all got together.
It's good stuff.
Having to run after your food? We won't have to do that anymore.
Oh, shit, dude.
The food will run to us. When we get to dry land, we will take the animals to a place where we can choose the ones we want to fatten them up until the time comes for...
So the carnivores are basically the beginning of factory farming.
Whoa. I like that pig.
Dude, these guys fucking invented that shit. They invented factory farming.
They invented factory farming. They're boiling them alive. That's awesome.
Whoa. Fuck, dude.
Zero won't allow it. He might be a fool, but he's also fair.
And what we can't allow is that just because we feel frustrated...
Okay, Scar,
what the fuck am I looking
at?
Yeah,
what is he?
Is he like an Elvis lion thing?
Scar Fossa? I don't know, dude.
Faced with failure, we give up without trying once more.
So then...
I just want to say that every single one of these character designs is just fucking hideous.
Except for the pigs. I kind of like the pigs.
They're Illuminati pigs, though.
No.
Oh, so he's the good guy lion that's on the side of all the herbivores.
It seems all the bad boys came out to play. Zero, I'd like to invite you for a drink.
No, thank you. I'm with some old friends.
Old friends can always be traded in for newer friends, Zero.
Not in my case. For me, my
I'm evil.
Are fundamental.
The audio mixing is really bad, so we're our conversation does not seem that... Oh, damn.
Damn.
Whoa, dude.
She got some big old titties.
Fetish fuel.
Why don't you come?
Excuse me, guys. Whoa, I love his face there. Someone please meme this somehow.
Guys, I'm going to have to take a quick break. I've got to go to the restroom.
I'm not even going to bother.
Whoa, TJ, put that away.
TJ, come on, dude.
You can't even see it from there. It's small. You don't know what's going on over
Disgust
here.
Disgust me.
TJ, you don't have to move your hand that much. You'd be more like this.
Dude, Patty the Puma, dude. Patty the Puma, dude. She's pretty hot.
Patty the Puma,
damn,
gonna fuck that sweet ass. Well, I feel like this was kind of a short show, but that's all we got.
I didn't realize that so much political shit was going on inside the Ark, so I'm glad we got a look at that.
Yeah, get a little glimpse inside there. We will be back to doing our shows live for you guys next week, or I don't know what day this is coming out on. I don't know. This is like a makeup show. We're not fucking back yet or whatever the fuck is going on.
We're still in L.A. having the time of our fucking lives.
Having the time of our lives. So we'll be back soon. I mean, we might actually already be back by now, but we had, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't give a shit. Whatever. This is pre-recorded. This last of the pre-recorded episodes. We'll be back next week. Fuck you. The end.
Drugs. Bye.
See you later.
See you fucking pieces of shit later.